have a picnic, shall we? It's International Picnic Day, and I believe it's even National Picnic Week. And certainly the weather is cooperating today. It's a nice late spring, early summer day. Fresh produce is available. It's a great time to have a picnic. And it's also a great time then to talk about a book about having a great time having a picnic. And we will have tips and planning advice on a perfect picnic for you. What do you like to bring to picnics? What kinds of food and drink do you bring? Do you have a favorite spot to go that you're willing to share? What sorts of activities do you like to bring along? Let us know on the Joy Cardine Show. John Munson in for Joy Cardine today. We are celebrating International Picnic Day. My guest is Marie Hennell, who has written for the New York Times Magazine, W Magazine, Departures, and Marie Claire. She is the co-author of the book, The Picnic, Recipes and Inspiration from Basket to Blanket. Marie Hennell, welcome to the Marnie Hennell. Gosh, I can't even read my own script today. Welcome to the Joy Cardine Show. Thanks for being with me today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good morning.
Okay, so, you know, a lot of us, when we think about picnics, we mostly think about bugs and ants and other unpleasant things, and then we change our minds and decide to eat in front of the television instead. Why should we get out in the outdoors and go picnicking?
Oh, there are so many reasons, but the first and foremost is that every meal is more fun and more delicious when you eat it outside. So I think it's well worth the pests. One thing that always strikes me personally, because as a hostess, my greatest flaw is that I'm a procrastinator, is that you have to prepare a picnic in advance. So it allows you to host a party without scrambling around your kitchen, having to do the dishes, even really worrying about how many people are there, because often picnics are potluck. So it just takes all of the stress out of entertaining and leaves the fun.
Okay, and why write a book about picnics?
Well, 4 years ago, my co-authors and I live in Portland, Oregon, and 4 years ago, we started a picnic club, a monthly group of women who get together and go to a different Portland park and bring a picnic. And we hosted our first picnic, and it turned out so gorgeously that we decided to keep it up. And through the course of picnicking, each of my co-authors brought what we each do professionally to our picnic. So I wrote an article about it. I'm a journalist. My friend Andrea Sloniker is a cookbook author, so she began developing recipes. And my friend Jen Stevenson, the third author, has a website called Under the Table with Jen, and she started blogging about it. And in bringing all of these pieces to our picnic, we realized there was a book there. And so we wanted a place to put all of our great picnicking experience, and that's the book. It was really fun to put together, and it became our definitive compendium of all things about picnicking.
Well, and we're going to get to some of the things in the book. I mean, there are some really interesting recipes here and some fascinating pieces of information about things to bring on a picnic and stuff that that I'm sure a lot of us maybe thought of some of this, but probably not all of it. You know, in Wisconsin, because of our latitude, warm weather is at a premium. Picnics are a real treat because the picnicking season is so short. How do we make the most of our picnicking experience? What's the most important thing?
I think it's just about getting outside. So just making sure that you declare you're going to do it and doing it. So for me, I think that what is important, especially in a short picnicking season, is to keep your basket packed and ready by the door so that any minute you can just grab it and go. So you want to keep your picnic blanket in there and plates, forks, glasses, just your basic picnic setup by the door, because the key thing is getting outside.
And what are some things that make picnicking possible? I mean, in its most basic form, what are the main ingredients to a picnic?
I think we have something called a pop-up picnic in our book, because even though it's a cookbook with delicious recipes, all you really need for a picnic is to stop by a great market or farmer's market and grab the most basic picnic, I think, is a baguette, some cheese, salami, maybe some pickles. You'll have a cutting board and a knife in your picnic basket, some fruit, and maybe something sweet. like a chocolate bar, and just heading to the park and going for it that way. And then once you get into picnicking, you can layer on and make it more complicated as you want it to be.
So the basic form is, you might call it the Omar Khayyam picnic, a loaf of bread, a jug of wine.
Exactly. We call it the plowman's picnic.
The plowman's picnic. Okay. Well, Omar Khayyam just sounds more romantic.
I go on that picnic.
Okay, but we can make picnic as a picnicking as kind of as elaborate as we want, and you've got some really fun suggestions in your book to make picnicking more elaborate and unique. What's your favorite way to add some? And I don't want to use the word spice in the cooking context, but to add something unusual to a picnic. What's your favorite thing to do?
Well, I think. In terms of making it unusual, I think a themed picnic with a type of food that you wouldn't necessarily think about bringing outside is a great way into that. So in our book, we have a series of themed menus, and the one that's probably the most surprising is we have a Japanese picnic. We call it our Omai Omakase picnic, and it has this great Japanese potato salad, a noodle bowl. What else is in there? Just really, like, fun. You could bring sushi. There's really fun treats that we associate picnicking with a sort of an all-American style picnic. But there's a lot of different ways in. We've even had a potluck picnic because, of course, new foods are perfect for picnicking. So we have a menu for that in our book. So, yes, rethinking what types of food you might pack in your bucket is probably the easiest way to just create an unusual thing and spice it up a little.
800-642-1234, the number to call to chime in with your suggestions for what makes a great picnic. Maybe you want to share your favorite picnic dish with us. We won't necessarily demand that you share the recipe, but tell us about what makes a picnic for you. Is it a special location? Is it a special dish that you associate with picnics? What is it about picnicking that you like? Or maybe you have a question. Maybe you haven't done a lot of picnicking and would like to ask a question. We have an expert here to give you a tip to make or two to make your picnic a big success. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. talk@wpr.org is the email address. And you can find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and leave a comment or question there. And better yet, leave a question on the Joy, or leave a picture on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, maybe from a recent picnic that you had. Show us a picture of you and your gang having fun, having a picnic. I think we'd all like to see that, and we'll show your pictures on the radio. My guest is Marnie Hanel, who is one of the co-authors of the book that we're talking about. It's the title is The Picnic, Recipes and Inspiration from Basket to Blanket. Let's talk about planning a menu, because obviously if we're going to eat outside, we have to have food. And you talked about pop-up picnics and some really simple things that we can bring, just maybe some really good bread and some cheese and things like that. But if we want to have a more robust spread outdoors, let's talk about planning it. And I guess if different people are coming, how do we make sure that everybody brings something different so we don't end up with six potato salads?
That's a great question, and I think that you're a natural-born picnicker because you've hit on the essential component, which is that you really want to manage how heavy your picnic basket is, and the best way to do that is to divide and conquer. So when you invite your friends, I think the easiest thing to do is to declare a theme or a place that could inspire a theme. And then ask people to pipe up with their suggestions. So we just do it the modern way through a round-robin email, or you could use paperless post or Evite. And when people respond, they just suggest what they're bringing. And usually people have a sense of how many potato salads you want and how many entrees. And then you as the hostess can fill in the gaps. But the key thing is just to keep an even distribution among the salads and the mains, and make sure you have enough sweets. And then also ask everyone to bring a beverage, because that really is when things get heavy. So
yeah, yeah,
bring their own beverage.
Bring your own beverage. That's a theme of a lot of picnics.
That's true.
And sometimes, I mean, you know, maybe that somebody's got a particular specialty that everybody really likes. And so you call them and say, hey, we're having a picnic and, you know, we'd like you to come and please bring X, whatever it is.
My tip on that front is people tend to bring a salad. So spot the people who you think are really good cooks and ask them to bring the main dishes, because mm-hmm. that's always what's lacking. If you let people just do their own thing, you're going to end up with a lot of salads and a lot of mayonnaise-based salads, because we all love those for a picnic, but you don't want a whole table or a blanket filled with that type of salad.
Yeah, and especially on a really hot day.
Mm-hmm, that's the truth.
Okay, 800-642-1234. We're starting to get some calls. We'll take some of those in just a moment. I'm talking with Marnie Hanel, who's written for the New York Times Magazine, W Magazine, Departures, and Mary Claire. She is the co-author of The Picnic, Recipes and Inspiration from Basket to Blanket. Going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion about picnics. And, let's see. I want to hear about and some ideas for good main dishes for picnics, and maybe some things we hadn't thought of before. So we'll take a break, and we'll come back. We'll have more picnic in just a moment. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Here's a keen spot for a picnic.
Not here. It's better over there, by that big tree.
I like it over here.
I like it over there.
Sounds like a jolly little picnic group. I reckon I'll join them.
What would a picnic be without Yogi Bear or other animals uninvited otherwise? We're talking about picnics today on the Joy Cardine Show. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. The book under discussion is The Picnic, Recipes and Inspiration from Basket to Blanket. We have one of its co-authors with us, Marnie Hanel. And she has been giving us some great ideas for picnics. Let's talk about main dishes for just a moment, because you have a lot of suggestions for things we might not have thought about before as main dishes at a picnic. I think, you know, a lot of people think about things like fried chicken and hot dogs, and of course in Wisconsin we have to have bratwurst. Talk about some main dishes that we might not have thought about.
Well, we have a ton of main dishes in the book, but some of my favorites are dishes that are handheld. So we have this great za'atar lamb meatball pita that is just a really nice mix of spicy lamb, and it's topped with tomatoes and some cucumbers and a fresh tzatziki. And when you bring it to the picnic, they're in these great little pitas, so everyone can just grab one and go. It's kind of an upscale take on a hot dog, which everyone loves a hot dog, but you can have a twist. And then we also have some hand pies. There's this great kale and sweet potato and goat cheese hand pie that's similarly just your entire meal in its own little package. But I love, my favorite main recipe in the book is this very simple but always delicious horseradish rub flank steak. And that's a great choice, especially for everyone in Wisconsin, because there's such great beef in the Midwest. And it just marinates in your refrigerator, and it gives this, the horseradish rub has this brown sugar in it, and it gives it sort of a spicy but sweet coating. And it's just this really delicious treat to bring to a picnic, sliced thin, and you could put it on a sandwich or just eat it like that. And we serve it with a branch of tomatoes that we blister on the grill. So it has this gorgeous presentation as well. It really pops.
Well, it sounds delicious, and since I didn't get breakfast before the shift this morning, this show is making me very, very hungry, although I don't know that any brisket is on the menu for when I get off the air. Let's talk a little bit about dishware, because obviously you have to have something to put this food on when you go to eat it. Salads particularly get a little messy if you try to eat them off your hands. If we picnic enough to use reusable dishes, can you recommend a type?
Absolutely. We love enamelware, which you may think of as the old-fashioned kind of metal plate. And they're often used with camping, but there's some beautiful variations. So that's a nice thing to put in your picnic basket. But it is on the heavier side, so that's great for a smaller picnic. For a large picnic, you either want to go with a melamine plate, which is a hard plastic that's reusable, or if it's a huge picnic and you're going somewhere quite far into a park, we love compostable. It's just like a thin wooden plate, and they're available on a lot of websites, but the one that I order from is called Terra Nueva, and it's just a really great, thin, stackable, compostable plate, and then you don't have to feel bad about throwing away plastic.
Well, and that melamine, is that what we used to call Melmac?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. It might be.
Yeah, growing up, that was a cheap kind of plastic dish that in some cases was all we could afford, but it was called Melmac. Very durable, except you don't dare put it in the oven. Is it okay to ask people to bring their own dishes?
Absolutely. Everyone likes to contribute to a picnic, and it's such a great solution when you're entertaining, especially with families, because then you know that each family has something that their children will eat or that they prefer and love. People love to share, and it brings a nice spirit of camaraderie to the party. So I think it's a great idea to let people bring things and ask them to do so.
800-642-1234 is the number to call to share your picnic experience with us. Where do you like to go? What do you like to have to eat? What is it about picnicking that you like? We have a Facebook comment. You can go to the Joy Cardine Facebook page, Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and leave your comment or question there, maybe a photo of you and your family and friends having a picnic. Barb on Facebook writes, "My favorite place is on a boat or canoe on a lake with wine, of course, a substantial sandwich, fruit, and a quick snack for later. Seems to work for me." That brings up the question of where to picnic. Barb likes to picnic on the lake. Some of us may want a picnic overlooking a lake. How do we pick the best spot? What makes a good spot for a picnic, Marnie Hanel?
Well, I think Barb is onto something, because an unusual spot with a beautiful view is always a great place to picnic, somewhere that you wouldn't think of eating. So I think that's an adventure type picnic where your meal is your reward. A hiking picnic, something like that, is always a great choice. But the basics are, you want ground that is not, you don't want to be picnicking on a hill. So you're looking for a flat place. You're looking for some place that feels like the world unto itself. So nothing that's near a road or traffic that reminds you of your day to day. And parks are great for that. But there really isn't any wrong place to picnic. Oftentimes it can be a way to make an event that you want to attend, like a concert, even more fun, 4th of July, things that you know you're going to be outside for a long period of time, and having great food will make that experience even better. That can be a great place to picnic. But really you're looking for a beautiful view, a good surface, and you're thinking about the right time of day to avoid bugs as best as you can.
Yeah, bugs are often the uninvited guests at picnics, so I would assume, we're looking for a grassy spot. Check to make sure that you didn't throw your picnic blanket on top of a hill of fire ants, for example, although I don't think we have those in Wisconsin, and free of relatively bee-free, that kind of thing. What about, I guess I hadn't thought about this until I read your book. We also need to locate our picnic so that we have access to a bathroom if we need one.
That's the truth. Yeah, you want to be close enough to a bathroom, but not too close to a bathroom. So that's a good thing to scout out beforehand. When we're picnicking in a group, we often send someone ahead to spot the perfect place and then just let everyone know exactly where we're meeting.
Sounds like a plan to me. Let's take a phone call. Glenn is with us from Eastman today. Glenn, hello. Welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I think I'm supposed to say that. A Ratty's Picnic from Wind in the Willows. Your reference to the Rubaiyat sort of reminded me of the best picnic I ever had. First, chapter in Wind in the Willows, the water rat has a pig in there, and we tried to duplicate it, and it was fantastic.
Well, what a great idea Glenn had there, duplicating a picnic from a book, Wind in the Willows. Sounds like a plan to me.
That does sound like a great plan. And once you start noticing picnics, there are a lot of literary picnics that are fun to pick up on. I was even just reading a modern book, Loving Frank, the Nancy Horan book, and there's a great picnic scene with Frank Lloyd Wright. And there's picnics on television as well. Downton Abbey, they often picnic, and those picnics are very inspiring. They have a Pimm's Cup at the Downton Abbey picnic in, I think, the last season, and we have a Pimm's Cup in our book as well. So if you want to have a Downton Abbey picnic, there are certainly enough suggestions in our book to create one.
Well, and there
was, of course, he knows that the White House had a picnic recently.
Well, and not only that, there was an entire motion picture devoted to picnics.
That's true.
I'm sure well before your time, but the 1955 movie Picnic, starring William Holden and Kim Novak. And I'm old enough to have seen that movie, but not when it first came out. I'm not that old. just to make a point there, and you also need a place to dispose of trash because you will have some.
That's true.
You point out in the book that you need to know where you can properly dispose of that. We don't want to leave the remains of our picnic laying on the ground for somebody else to have to pick up.
That's true. And that's a great thing to keep in your picnic basket. We always bring a few bags because you want to take out your trash and recycling and compost, of course. And then I also bring an extra bag to line the picnic basket, and that's where you can put your reusable dirty plates and things like that. So when you get home, they can go right into the dishwasher, and it just keeps everything very easy.
Well, and that brings up the question of leftovers, because, I don't know, most people like to prepare enough food so that everybody can have plenty and doesn't feel like they need to stint on their portions. But that often means that you may over-prepare a little bit, or somebody doesn't show up who said they were going to, so you end up with food left over. What's the best way to handle leftovers at the end of the picnic?
Well, you're absolutely right. The spirit of a picnic is abundance. So you want to encourage there to be leftovers. And if you're a really smart picnicker, especially if you're going to a potluck picnic, you'll bring some Tupperware and you'll go home with something that's different than what you brought so that you can enjoy a lunch the next day or another meal with your family. So we definitely suggest bringing Tupperware with you so that you can pack it out and continue to enjoy the goodies.
Mark in Eau Claire joins us on the Joy Cardine Show today, and I think Mark's got a great question. Mark, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
When I think of picnicking, I think of fishing and what a group of us turn around and do of four or five different families is we pick different places that we're going fishing at, and we all know that Saturday morning everybody's going to scatter to different places to go fishing, but everybody comes back at noon to one central place to talk and to have a meal and kind of lounge around until later in the afternoon when everybody will go back and go fishing again. So it's almost like we associate this picnic and the fishing all in one and other things that go along with it.
Well, Mark, let me ask you, do you ever bring some of the fish that you catch in the morning to these picnic lunches and prepare and cook them there?
We have when we've been up in Canada, but sometimes it's a little bit luck of the draw. I don't know if we're the best fishermen. I think we just like the outing and the camaraderie of getting together.
Nothing wrong with that. I've spent many hours on the lake catching absolutely nothing except a suntan. there's an example of combining other activities with picnicking. Marnie, talk about some of the – you list a whole lot of things to do associated with picnicking that don't necessarily directly involve food. Why don't we chat about that for just a little bit?
Well, that sounds like a wonderful picnic, and I think it's nice that you're taking some of the pressure off that if you catch a fish, you might eat it, but it's not considered the main of your – you're not relying on it for lunch. But we love lawn games because we're in a city, so croquet is a game that I used to play with my grandparents, and now that we've brought it back with our picnic society, I'm really enjoying that. Of course, badminton, and then some of the games that I played in the Midwest growing up going to camp have made a big comeback for me, like Capture the Flag is one that I've recently got. That's a great game. It holds up. It's great for adults. It's great for kids. So any of those really fun stationary long games, if you have enough room to picnic, you probably have enough room to play a game too. And it's a great way to just add a layer to your event.
Well, and it seems to me that there's a spirit of playfulness that comes into this that allows adults maybe to act like kids again for just a few hours.
Absolutely.
It's one of the things that can make picnicking kind of special, as long as you don't take it too far. How should we, is there a preference that you have, or there's pluses and minuses to whether we use a picnic table or have our picnic on a blanket? What are the pros and cons for those things?
Well, it's funny because my co-authors are divided about that. I prefer a blanket because I think it's when else do you get the excuse to just sort of lounge and eat? You might as well go for it and have the true Bacchanalian experience. But my friend and co-author Jen Stevenson loves a table because she does a lot of food photography, and so she loves the display. So she is always seeking a table. And Andrea, my friend, Andrea Swanaker, the third author, likes the compromise, which is typically what we do. So we typically put a blanket near the picnic table and lay out this sumptuous spread. So it's just like this gorgeous food upon food upon food. And then we actually eat on the blanket, but we use the table as a buffet. So
what makes a good a good picnic blanket?
Well, I think one of the things that I look for is a washable blanket. So I think people tend to look for heavy blankets, like quilts. But my preference is I don't think it needs to be that heavy of a blanket. It can be a light blanket. It can be Turkish towels are kind of on trend right now. It can be something even that thin, like a thin cotton blanket. As long as you can throw it in the washing machine, I think that's the key component because there's always a little spillage at a picnic, and you're outdoors, so there's grass stains and mud and things like that. Any blanket that you're not going to feel too precious about, picnicking should be easy. And something that's lightweight is always a good idea, but washable is the key component for me.
How big should it be?
Well, we actually did some calculating because you want your blanket to be exactly right. So I think we have a formula in the book, and now I'm getting exactly what our key formula is. I'm flipping to see if I can find it really quickly.
Well, people can buy the book and find out for themselves. That'd be one way to do this.
Find out. Mm-hmm.
Well, as a practical matter, you want everybody to have enough room so that they feel comfortable and you don't have personal space issues. Plus, you're dealing with food, so you need a little extra space there, too. So you want to figure out how many people you have and how comfortable they are with one another. We're talking about picnicking today on the Joy Cardine Show. There's a new book out titled The Picnic, Recipes and Inspiration from Basket to Blanket. Marnie Hanel is with me, one of the co-authors of that book. Looking for your suggestions on the kinds of places you like to picnic. We've heard some great suggestions, people liking to picnic on boats, people liking to combine fishing with their picnicking, people who like to take a story and make a theme out of it, a Wind in the Willows style picnic. Maybe you want to have, a Hobbit-style picnic. You'd have to have a lot of food for that. There are a lot of different ways to theme your picnic and a lot of ways to have a lot of fun with it. We're talking about that this hour on the Joy Cardine Show. Want to hear your picnic stories. Maybe growing up picnicking was part of your family. What was that like? Why was it important? What made it fun? What made it interesting? By the way, our crack producers have looked through your book and found the answer we were looking for. You want to plan 9 square feet per person. on that blanket. So 9 square feet, that's the answer, 9 square feet per person.
Okay, so just applying that of, like, let's say a picnic blanket that's 5 by 7, that would be suitable for 3 people, but a little bit tight for 4.
Yeah, and if one of the people is me, it would be suitable for 2 people. 800-642-1234. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have more of our discussion about picnicking. We've got an email from a listener who has a great idea for a picnic. We'll share that. We could share your story if you want to share it with us at 800-642-1234 or send us an email, talk@WPR.org. Or go to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and share your idea there. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Let's have a picnic. Sounds like a great thing to do this afternoon or this evening or any old time. We're talking about picnicking, which is one of the great summer activities that we enjoy here in Wisconsin. We're talking with Marnie Hanel, who has written for the New York Times Magazine, W Magazine, Departures, and Marie Claire. She is the co-author of The Picnic, Recipes and Inspiration from Basket to Blanket. We had an email from a listener who says, in Sauk County, one of the great ways to picnic is to go out to American Players Theater for a picnic on their lovely grounds and then see incredible theater in an outdoor setting. It's so much fun to see the range of picnic fare, from bags of chips and dip to store-bought cookies to a huge gourmet spread. There are a number of venues like American Players Theater in Wisconsin that have sort of an outdoor setting where you could bring your picnic and then enjoy some entertainment. That sounds like a great idea, Marnie Hanel.
That sounds like the best idea. And some of my favorite picnic memories involve seeing a play or a concert. I lived in New York for a number of years, and Shakespeare in the Park is, of course, a famous picnicking spot in Central Park, watching a play and having your picnic. And that listener, they hit on, I think, such an important and funny component of picnicking, which is the comparison factor. There is definitely a blanket envy element. So if you do make the extra effort to bring something homemade or unusual, like a roast chicken or the flank steak we were discussing before, you get a lot of reinforcement. And in fact, when our picnic society picnics together, I don't think we've ever had a picnic where a stranger didn't ask if they could have a plate or have a nibble or joke that they wish they were at our picnic. And that's a fun component of interacting with your dining neighbors.
Sure. My mother used to bring these great big Nesco roasters full of fried chicken. That was always a
awesome.
That was always a big
delicious
hit. Well, plus it's still good cold. So I mean, it's great hot, but if it cools off, fried chicken is still a good deal.
Yeah, we have a great fried chicken recipe as well. I love fried chicken. It's one of my favorite foods.
Well, tell us about the fried chicken recipe in your book. You don't have to give up all the details, but what is it about your fried chicken recipe that really makes it jump out?
Well, it's a very clever recipe. Andrea Sloniker was thinking about, she described it to us. She was actually in California when she developed the recipe, and she sent it to us, and we made it and tasted it, and we were sold. She wanted to think about all of the great smoky flavors that are coming into meats now as people are able to have home smokers. And so this is a tea-brined fried chicken, and it uses a smoky tea that you brine your chicken in, and then you fry it. And so it has this, it has all of the components we already love about fried chicken, a crisp skin and a juicy, moist chicken, but it also has a smoky component that just brings it really, really special. You might not even recognize what's going on there if you were just to taste it and not make the recipe, but it brings an interesting depth, and people cannot resist this recipe. It is definitely one of the big stars in the book, I think.
Well, you can get the recipe in the book, The Picnic, Recipes and Inspiration from Basket to Blanket. Let's take another call. Laura is with us from Milwaukee today. Laura, hello. Welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
Yeah, 30 years ago when everybody was still with us, we used to go to Wilson Park picnicking, and we'd swing by an Asian grocery and get Chinese roast duck and red and white pork and a big pot of fried rice. And, you know, then the usual, you know, picnic fare, to, you know, fried chicken and all that for everybody, because it was about 30 people, family members there, you know. So we play volleyball and things like that for all the younger kids. But we had fun. We had fun.
Laura, thanks for sharing your story with us. I appreciate hearing from you this morning. What was it about those times that made them special? Was it just the family? What was it?
It was family. It was family. Everyone was still with us. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was family.
Okay, Laura, thank you so much. She talked about a mix of prepared foods that you buy and maybe even on the way to the picnic and then stuff you make at home. I guess there's really no set rule on this, is there?
And I think there really is no rule about what to bring to a picnic, and it can be challenging. It can be a fun challenge to bring something unusual outside. But I think what Laura hit on is one of the reasons that we all love picnics so much, because she might not have remembered that meal if it was just happening in her backyard or at home inside. But because they created a sense of occasion around that family event, she has this great memory of it. And that's what we really love about picnicking. And as much as we love the recipes in our book, that's what we want to share most of all, just this idea that if you bring the meal outside, you're going to have this wonderful time, create lasting memories, and celebrate summer in a way that nothing else does.
Let's talk about some of the other themes for picnics that you have in your book. Could we have a Greek theme, Japanese? What are some theme ideas you could share with us today?
Sure. Well, a lot of your listeners have mentioned some great themes. Creating a literary reference is a great idea, or a television show, or theming it around the theater experience you're about to see. So having a picnic, a Midsummer Night's Dream picnic, why not? But we were originally thinking about the book in terms of types of cuisine. So we have a Bells with Basket picnic, which is our southern-themed picnic, the Japanese picnic, the omayamakase. We have so much delicious French food in the book because, really, that is the French love to picnic, and there's a lot of food that really suits picnicking. So we have dueling French picnics, one more of a Parisian picnic, the other is a Provençal picnic. We have a picnic called Meet Me at the Manor, which is a classic English picnic. We have a lot of fun. There is no type of cuisine that you couldn't create a picnic around. And I think we have 10 or 11 themed picnics in the book.
Probably spaghetti with marinara sauce might want to give that a miss.
Well, perhaps not, but you could certainly have an Italian picnic.
Oh, absolutely.
Bottled cocktails, Negronis, and pasta salad, of course, is a picnic staple, a great sandwich. We have it's a New Orleans style, but it uses a lot of Italian cured meats, a muffuletta sandwich, which is a focaccia sandwich with salami and mortadella and provolone and a great sort of olive spread. So I would challenge you to come up with a type of cuisine you couldn't create.
Well, and you also mentioned there was one of the Italian things in your book, and I lost my place, so I can't find it immediately now, but I think it was involved, I think, wrapping prosciutto around a really thin Italian breadstick. That looked delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are great and such an easy, quick thing to bring.
Well, you can eat it. You don't need a plate for it. You can just pick it up and eat it.
No, you can just go for it. And if you're running late to a picnic, my one tip for your listeners is the showstopper is always just to bring your cooler and throw popsicles in there or ice cream, because people love something cold at a picnic.
Absolutely. So, mm-hmm. Let's take another call. Anne in Stevens Point has a question for us today. Anne, welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
Well, hi there. Great show. Do you have any suggestions for main dishes when you have vegetarians at your picnic?
Absolutely. We actually have a lot of vegetarians we picnic with. And when you're hosting a bunch of vegetarians, I think just doubling your salads is always a great way to go. There's this tomato and peach and feta salad in the book that reads like a main dish. And there is an Asian noodle bowl in the book that is also, it's a cold noodle bowl, and that's a great vegetarian option. As well as the hand pies that were previously mentioned, we have a tomato pie that's really delicious. So, and then of course, for a more classic treatment, we have a dozen baguette sandwiches. So one of my favorites is you bring a baguette, camembert cheese, and sliced strawberries. And when you get to the blanket, you slice open that baguette, spread on the camembert, toss on your sliced strawberries, and it's this very fresh, delicious, and indulgent treat because a lot of the vegetarians I know are they're making a choice about not eating meat, but they don't want to miss the fun of just going for it, especially in the summer. So having some indulgent options for your vegetarians is always a good idea.
And thanks, thanks for sharing your question with us today on the Joy Cardine Show, talking with Marnie Hanel about picnicking today and getting your ideas. And here's one. This is a great, great thing about this show. Judith, who's one of my producers today on the Joy Cardine Show, is married to a Frenchman. And Judith says, the French are all about what is seasonal, fresh, and local. So stopping at the market, getting locally made cheeses and meats, radishes, always eaten with butter, a green salad with a light vinaigrette, and bread that is no more than a couple of hours from the oven would be perfect. With wine, of course, in summer, often a rosé. And, you know, that reminds me, I think after the show I'm going to go to a local bakery and get a baguette because that just sounds like a great idea anyway. thanks, Judith. And by the way, Judith is, has dual citizenship. She's a French citizen and a U.S. citizen, you should hear her speak French. It's lovely. But, you know, Judith has a great suggestion there. We in the summertime, we have all this fresh produce available. You know, we can get it fresh. There are a lot more artisan bakeries that are available today probably than ever before. Always a great place to pick up something that was just prepared or just taken out of the garden. 800-642-1234, the number to call to join the program. And Rusty in North Freedom is with us next. Rusty, welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
Oh, hi. Thanks. My most memorable picnic was one that I did in January in northern Wisconsin.
Whoa.
The temperature was just a few degrees above zero. We did is we prepared beforehand a huge pot of chili, and then we clamped the lid on so it couldn't spill and put it in a backpack along with a loaf of good bread and some cheese. And we cross-country skied into a park, and after several miles, we were thoroughly warmed up, and we arrived at a picnic spot where we found a grill, found a lot of deadfall around, built a fire, heated up the chili, and for about an hour, we had a nice picnic. We did not feel cold until, after we had been sitting for about an hour or more. And
wow.
Then we, of
Sounds
course...
wonderful.
Of course,
wow.
Got the skis back on and skied back out to warm up. It was something I had never done before. And it was myself, my wife, another couple, and the dog.
You said you'd never done it before. Is it something you plan to repeat?
I think my days are over for skiing. Like that.
Rusty, that's a great story. Thanks so much for sharing it with us. That's great. That brings up a great question, though, because I mean that was a little counterintuitive. You don't associate picnicking with northern Wisconsin in January, but Rusty and his family found a way to make that work for them. But it brings up the question: what do we do when the weather isn't ideal? We get out there, and all of a sudden, a rainstorm we hadn't predicted looms on the horizon. How do we preserve our picnic? Can we still picnic even when the weather isn't perfect?
Yes, I think there's no reason you ever need to cancel a picnic. And in the past, what we've done is one time we actually just brought the picnic inside, and we put blankets on the living room floor, and we acted like we were outside, even though we weren't, and it was a really funny indoor picnic, but usually a lot of parks have picnic shelters, You can always duck for cover there. And braving the elements can be a pretty, as Rusty showed us, a funny, it can be even, we can add something memorable to a picnic. So for John, that would be my advice.
Okay. There's a lot of really interesting stuff in this book. For example, I was fascinated with your list of 99 uses for mason jars. what are some of your favorites from the 99 uses for mason jars?
Well, we were playing with the idea of mason jars are used a lot right now. And some might say, especially with weddings and other entertaining, opportunities, and some people think they're over the mason jar, but we are not because there just isn't anything that's quite as practical, reusable, inexpensive. So we just really wanted to show you how important it is to have a mason jar at your picnic. So some of the things that we love it as, we use it as a vase for flowers. We catch fireflies in our mason jars. We have a pie recipe in the book that can be baked inside of a mason jar. It can be a dish for your olives. It can be a cheese dome. It could be your first aid kit holder. It could be a wait for a balloon or a lost and found jar. We really, a wine glass. There's really nothing we couldn't use a mason jar for, and we have many ideas.
Well, you know, I'm such a horrible time manager here. One of the things I meant to get to a lot earlier, but we haven't yet, let's quickly talk about beverages. There are a lot of non-alcoholic beverages we can make at home and bring along. Talk about some of your favorites and maybe some that are the easiest to make.
Sure. I think, lemonade is, of course, the classic at a picnic. It's so delicious. It's such a fresh, tart thing to have in the summer. So we have a great raspberry lemonade recipe in the book. Another thing that we concentrate on is individual portioning. So we have instructions for how to cap your own small bottles of either cocktails, individual cocktails that you can bring to the picnic and then just pop a straw in. So you're not mixing things on the blanket. And then another recipe that I love that's so easy and kind of unusual is a shrub, which is a drinking vinegar. So you make this really delicious fruit vinegar just with berries. Our recipe is strawberry, but you can use raspberries, you could use rhubarb, you could use whatever you're interested in or is in your garden at the moment. You cover it in sugar, it macerates overnight, then you strain out the fruit and you put a cup of vinegar in it, and as that sits in your refrigerator and mellows for at least a day, but it can be in there all summer, it creates this really tart concentrated vinegar that you can use. You can put a tablespoon into a glass of ice with club soda, and it's a really low calorie and unusual and delicious refresher.
We're in the last minute of the program here. What's the number one thing that you want our listeners to remember about making the best picnic?
I think just to gather your friends and let everyone bring whatever they're the most interested in and passionate about. So just celebrating what's in season, is local, and is enjoyable to your crowd. Most of all, just to get outside and picnic and have fun.
All right. Marnie Hanel, thank you for spending this hour with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Marnie Hanel is co-author of the book, The Picnic Recipes and Inspiration from Blanket to Basket. She's written for the New York Times Magazine, W Magazine, Departures, and Marie Claire. Thanks to Kayla Blado for producing this hour of programming and to Judith Sears-Poisson for handling the on-air production. Bill Martin served as our show director today. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.